Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master, right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host each Thursday here on Mornings for the Master. And at this time, on Mornings for the Master each Thursday, we have been studying the book of 2 Peter. We are in the middle of chapter 2, and today we're going to be considering false teachers. And we're going to look at the depravity of the false teacher in verses 10 through 17. Now, I hope that you tune in to Mornings for the Master each weekday, where you have a different host and a different course of study. Remember, each of these programs are replayed at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time each evening, and they're posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website. So I hope you avail yourself to that, and if there are lessons that you might have missed, you can go back on that on-demand section and pull those up and gain anything that might be pertinent for you. So, this time, let's get into our lesson for today as we consider false teachers. And in verses 10 through 17, we find the depravity of these. Let's go to our text now and begin in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, in his discourse here against false teachers, Peter has written very strongly and very harshly against these individuals. It is said that they will bring in their destructive heresies and bring on themselves and those who follow them certain destruction. Now go back to the beginning of chapter 2, and let's notice verses 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Their doom is certain, for God knows how to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, as illustrated by the examples that we find in verses 4 through 9. Recall that we looked at last week. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Why would Peter use such strong wording? In fact, is Peter justified in writing so harshly against these false teachers? Is it really that bad? The answer is most certainly yes. For by inspiration, Peter knows the true extent to which these depraved individuals have fallen. Again now, these are very much aware of their deception, and they are very much aware of what they are doing. And so, in our text today, we learn from Peter just exactly how serious is the depravity of false teachers. So, let us consider now these depravities. And let's begin with the fact that these false teachers, they revile against those in authority. Notice now verses 10 through 12. And especially those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are in greater power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. but these, like natural brute beast, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. So now let's notice the character of these depraved individuals, the false teacher. Peter said that they walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. He pointed this out in verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. They are presumptuous and self-willed. By so walking after the flesh, they became little more than natural brute beast. Consider verse 12. But these, like natural brute beast, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. So, we see the character and depravity of the false teacher. And when an individual is in this condition, we find that they will despise authority. Again, notice verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. The false teacher has no appreciation for the principles in the scripture of authority and submission. Notice with me verses 13 through 17. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They feel no need to submit to those that are over them. And we see that they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Again, we refer back to verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and notice, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. The word used for dignitaries is doxa, and literally means glories. It could be used to refer to human dignitaries, such as either a church leader or even a civic leader, but also celestial beings, such as good or fallen angels. Now the context of verse 11 and the parallel passage that we find in Jude verses 8 and 9 suggest that fallen angels, those that Peter mentioned in verse 4, may be the dignitaries spoken of here. Thus, in some way, these individuals would speak derogatorily of fallen angels, something even angels greater in power and might would not dare to do. Notice verse 11 again. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Now let's consider that parallel passage that we mentioned just a moment ago in Jude, in verses 8 and 9. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Peter said these false teachers, these depraved ones, speak evil of things they do not understand. Look again at verse 12. But these, like natural brute beast, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Once again, the charge that Peter brings against the false teacher is that they speak evil. The charge appears to be in the way that they speak, even of fallen angels. With an attitude of spite, they work against those who are in authority. They do these things when they really are not in a position to know the whole situation that those in authority might be dealing with. And so it is with a heart and mind filled with arrogance and evil speaking, the false teacher will corrupt themselves. Again, now consider in Jude, verse 10, as Jude speaks of these individuals, "But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves." If the scriptures condemn those who speak evil of fallen angels, what does that say of those who speak evil of fallen individuals? And in fact, whether they be congregational or civic leaders. But let's allow Peter's words to encourage us to be very careful about such things. Now, the depravity of these false teachers is seen in more than one way. And it is now further seen as we consider how they revel with such great pleasure. Let's pick up again in verse 13. "And will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children." We find there that it tells us they love to carouse. The word carouse or revel, we see that the original King James uses the words riot and sporting. The reference is to the extreme indulgence in sensual pleasures and dissipation. They count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. Verse 13 says, "And will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you." Now, this is not to suggest that it is okay, that it is just fine to carouse at night. It demonstrates to us just how depraved these individuals are, like spots and blemishes. They carouse in their deceptions, all the while they feast with you. Again, see verse 13. "And will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. They take advantages of gatherings with Christians. And they do this evil of theirs with very skillful deception. And we see the cause. For Peter said, "For they have corrupted eyes and heart." We find that their eyes are full of adultery. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And now notice our text in verse 14. "Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and are accursed children." It says there in verse 14 that they cannot cease from sin. This certainly points out the depravity of these individuals. It said they are enticing unstable souls, or beguiling unstable souls. They take advantage of the spiritually immature Christian. And look at the sickness of their heart. Their heart is trained in covetous practices, constantly longing for what is not theirs. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They are skilled at, they have developed the ability to figure out how to get what they want. And what they want all pertains to the flesh. And that is illustrated perfectly in Peter's terminology here of saying they have eyes that are full of adultery. And such depravity, we find at the end of verse 14 that they have truly become accursed children. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. The very fact that they are even described as accursed children is another strong indication that these false teachers were once true Christians. It says, denying the Lord, that they deny the Lord who bought them, back in verse 1. And it says, and after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, in verse 20. And so, We now want to consider our third point as we see another indication about the depravity of the false teacher is that we can find that they revolt against the right way. Notice again verses 15 and 16. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. Verse 15 begins by saying about the false teacher that they have forsaken the right way and gone astray. It is hard to forsake what you never had. It is hard to go astray if you were never in the right way. And so because of that, this phrase of Peter lends even more credence to the idea that these false teachers he's referring about were erring Christians. They were men who had risen up from within the body and gone astray. And this sadly adds to the description of just how far one can fall from the Lord. It says that these men are following the way of Balaam. We recall Balaam, the prophet. They were swayed by the wages of unrighteousness, just like Balaam. And so here, Peter is making something of a play on words, for he used the same phrase earlier in verse 13 in a totally different way. Go back again to verse 13. And speaking of false teachers, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. The wages of unrighteousness that Peter speaks of in verse 13 refers to the eternal compensation that one receives for their sins. So now look again at verse 15. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. In verse 15, the wages of unrighteousness, unlike verse 13, refers to the momentary compensation one receives for their sins. Of course, that may be in the form of money, perhaps in the form of the fulfillment of fleshly desires. But remember that Balaam was rebuked and restrained by a dumb donkey who spoke. Go with me to Numbers chapter 22 and let's recall those events with Balaam. And let's begin in verse 22. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me." The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. How much more should we take heed when it is the voice of an inspired apostle, that being Peter, who seeks to rebuke and restrain the madness of false teachers? And so, as we begin to draw things to a close today, let's consider verse 17. There Peter said of these people, these are wells without water. Clouds carried by tempest. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? In verse 17, Peter gives us two illustrations that describe for us the depravity of these false teachers. They are wells without water. Peter said they are clouds carried by tempest. Both of these illustrations describe things which promise much, such as water, but they deliver nothing. So it is with these false teachers, who, while promising us much, are so depraved themselves that there is only one thing awaiting them. Peter said, to whom the gloom of darkness is reserved forever. We find the same judgment is given to the angels who sinned. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. How ironic that these individuals who were so bold to revile fallen angels will suffer the same punishment. Peter will have more to say about these false teachers in the final part of the chapter, as he will consider for us next week the deceptions of the false teacher and how they fail to deliver what they promise. In the meantime, remember that it is not sufficient just to beware of false teachers. We must also be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's close with chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. What is the case with you today? Are you preparing yourself to stand against the depravity and even the deceptions of the false teacher? Thank you so much for joining me today. Remember that tomorrow Brother Chip Horton will be with you at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another one of his great lessons. And then remember too that this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Again, stay tuned today, throughout the day, for the programming here on the network, where you can hear sound, practical, and useful gospel teaching with great applications. And you can be edified by beautiful gospel hymns through the day. And so, if the Lord wills, I will see you again next week at this same time, as we continue to look at 2 Peter, We'll be looking again, as we noted, at the deceptions of the false teachers in verses 18 through 22 of chapter 2. And until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a wonderful day.